Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. I am so delighted at this wonderful and generous offering of school supplies for students at Davis Townsend Elementary who might not otherwise have all that they need. So thank you to everyone who has brought this generous offering today. And since school is getting ready to start up, today is our blessing of the backpacks. During the children's sermon, we'll have the children come forward with their backpacks. And if you're a teacher or you work in the school system, if you have a bag you like to bring forward, we can bless that as well. We have just a few announcements this morning. Following worship, there is a brief social ministry committee meeting, so if you are interested in serving on that committee, please stick around for just a few minutes after worship. And I just saw Eddie and Tracy Summers come in. They have told me that they have an overabundance of eggs. And they said, do you think if we brought some to church, people would be willing to help us use some of them up? So after worship, if you're interested in some eggs, Tracy and Eddie Summers have quite a few of them. Tomorrow evening, the men's group is meeting at 6:30. And in 2 weeks, it's going to be rally day. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend, and our rally day will be the following Sunday. So there's going to be a lunch provided after worship by the fellowship committee. There are going to be a couple things that we're going to ask you all to bring, but we're going to get that word out to you. And we're going to get the children, if they need it, New Age appropriate Bibles. I am reminded all the time that children just don't keep. We've got a couple kiddos starting middle school. We've got Rosala starting high school. And we've got littles growing up. So we're going to get everybody, if they need it, if it's time, an age-appropriate Bible. Also, if you would like a Lutheran study Bible, we would like to gift you one. So will you let me know if you'd like one of those? And I'll have one for you that Sunday, and we will bless it as well. We'd love to do that. We've got one birthday this week, Gracie Ferguson, and one person remembering her baptism, Sarah Grace Davis. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we have one prayer shawl this morning. This is for Gail Fulbright, who is Rebecca's stepmother, also Freddie Fulbright's stepmother-in-law. And Gail is having foot surgery. She's had a lot of trouble with her foot, and so we are going to bless this for her. And I will say that we added the Agape Circle. They keep track of all the prayer shawls that they've given away. And this week when we added some more of those to the spreadsheet, we had to add 1,000 more rows to the spreadsheet because we are almost at 2,000. Prayer shawls that we have documented. I'm sure there are more than that, but it's a remarkable ministry. It's a remarkable ministry here at Holly Grove. So let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of this prayer shawl ministry. There are so many who contribute yarn and so many who contribute their time and energy to knit and crochet these so that those who receive them might be reminded in a tangible way that they are loved and cared for by God and by us here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We ask that you would be with Gail as she continues to struggle with her foot and has this upcoming surgery, and that you would be with her as she recovers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children and any educators that would like to come forward for a blessing with the backpacks. Let me come over here so I can see everybody's cool backpacks. Oh, I love it. And there's some back here too, right? Oh, very nice. Well, I've been thinking about the blessing of the backpacks happening today and how you might have some school supplies in your backpack, and we've collected school supplies, so I wanted to show you this school supplies I got for George. I got George a pencil. You think he'll be able to use that? Oh, well, I know that today is filled with maybe some mixed emotions, maybe a little bit of excitement. I'm excited for you guys to start a new year, but maybe some nervousness and some sadness that, my goodness, summer vacation is already over. And that's one of the things about life, is that we can feel different emotions at the same time. We can be sad and excited and a little bit nervous all at the same time. But I think I can speak on behalf of the congregation, and we are excited for you to start a new year, because part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is that we love God with all of our body, all of our strength, all of our hearts, and our minds. And a big part of what that means is always continuing to learn and always continuing to grow our mind and our knowledge about God's world so that we can always more faithfully love God and love others. And so I am excited for you all tomorrow. And we have some backpack tags that we are going to ask you to put on your backpacks. Can somebody read what it says for me? I know you three can read. You four can read. You five. Can somebody tell me what it says? You matter. I think one of the things that can be hard about school is that there can sometimes be bullying, and it always seems like there's kind of this comparison trap and competitions with other people. And it can lead us to start to wonder if we matter, if our presence matters, if our existence even matters. Well, I am here today, and our congregation is here today to remind you, yes, you do matter. You matter to God, you matter to me, and you matter to your church family. And so what I'd like all of us to do is we're going to call out each person by name, and we're going to say, Cameron, you matter to God, and you matter to us. So we're going to say each person's name, you matter to God, and you matter to us. And we're going to go all the way around. I'll say the person's name first, and then you repeat that litany with me. So we'll start with Cameron. Cameron, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Kate. Kate, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Maddie, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Calvin. Calvin, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Rosala. Rosala, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Conrad. Conrad, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Sawyer. Sawyer, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Isabel. Isabel, you matter to God, and you matter to us. How about to our teachers? Anna. Anna, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Judy. Judy, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Tina. Tina, you matter to God, and you matter to us. Life can be hard sometimes, and we can wonder if we do matter, but who we are, not even just by what we do, but who we are matters. And God loves all of us, and we all make a difference in the world with our presence. Let us pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
And thank you for our church.
We have mixed feelings about tomorrow.
We have mixed feelings about tomorrow.
But help us to remember,
that you go with us.
And that nothing can separate us from your love.
Help us
to love you with our minds,
as we journey into
this new school year.
Help us to remember
that we matter to you. And we matter to our church family.
We love you, God.
Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. If you are a fifth grader or younger, you may go to Children's Church with Anna this morning. Absolutely.
The first reading is from Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, he asked them, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has been set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "People of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Ephesians. "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you. That are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.
you are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen and ascended Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. With the blessing of backpacks and collecting of school supplies tomorrow, this is a big reminder that summer is almost over. Certainly, summer vacation is over for our students and our teachers, but that also means that over the next few weeks, baseball season will be over. At least it will be for my favorite team, the Chicago Cubs, who will be lucky if they get the wild card into the playoffs. We enjoy watching Cubs game in the Carter house. Each year for Mother's Day, I get my mom a subscription to the MLB Network for Mother's Day so she can watch games all throughout the summer. So I say up front, this is an imperfect metaphor. But as we begin to explore Jesus' ascension in the Apostles' Creed today, picture this. It's the final game of the World Series. Each team has won 3 games, and this is the final game. It's the bottom of the 9th. The home team is at the plate. The score is 7-4 against the home team. Although 3 runs behind, the home team's bases are loaded. Now, at this point, there's no need for seats in the stadium because everyone is on his or her feet and they're screaming and cheering. The opposing team brings in its best closer. So it's the bottom of the 9th. 2 outs, bases loaded, full count, 3 balls, 2 strikes. Everything, not just about this game, but the entire World Series depends on this next and last play. Coming to the plate, the batter is Jesus. The pitch comes in, the swing, and the crack of the bat. And within 1 second, everybody knows that it's a home run. But not just an ordinary home run, the game-winning grand slam. Can you picture it? What happens as Jesus rounds the bases and he finally comes to home plate? The whole team runs and greets him as he crosses home plate. They're jumping up and down and rejoicing. It's a mound, a pile of bodies on top of one another, because that grand slam home run won it all. Victory is secured. The game is won, and the rejoicing can begin. Well, what does this have to do with the Apostles' Creed? One of the curious things about the Christian church is the neglect of the doctrine or the understanding of the ascension of Jesus Christ. We focus so much on Jesus' death and resurrection, except for one day each year, but why do we neglect his ascension? So grant me one more time to return to the baseball analogy. His birth is first base. His death on the cross is second base. His resurrection is third base. Why don't we celebrate the complete trip which brings Jesus all the way home? The Apostles' Creed reminds us of the importance of remembering and celebrating the full victory of Jesus Christ. That means Jesus' ascension, where he returns to God, where Jesus is exalted and is seated at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' ascension isn't just a footnote to the Easter story. It's not just an epilogue at the end of a novel where we're told what happens to various characters after the action ended. The ascension is an essential part of the Easter story. And Jesus and the New Testament writers never, ever intended for it to be separated from Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, although the actual story of the ascension only appears twice in the New Testament, the conviction that Jesus has returned to God and is exalted and enthroned on high is found throughout the entire New Testament. So let's explore a little bit more of this part of the Apostles' Creed. So we have to remember that people in the biblical times, they thought that the world was flat, and they believed that heaven was the dome above the earth, that if you went up to where the clouds were, that was where heaven was, and if you went up to the very highest part of that dome, that's where God resided. So, for the people in the New Testament, Jesus ascending or going up seemed natural. But for us, it loses its power because we know that if we go up into the clouds, which many of us have done on an airplane, we're still in the sky and we've looked through telescopes that can peer far beyond what the biblical people could have imagined was even the top of heaven. Our understanding of the atmosphere and outer space causes us to know that heaven isn't a geographical location above the earth. But listen to this. What the biblical folks did know was that in the one sense, God is everywhere. And God is not limited by time or space like we humans are. But they also believed that God had a special place, the place from where Jesus came to be with us and alongside of us. And it's that place that Jesus returned to when he ascended. They, like us, struggled to explain this or describe it because, let's face it, it's a mystery and words are inadequate. But this is what we do know, that the place where God is, that's where Jesus returned to. Jesus went to be where God is. But how about the next part? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Has anyone else ever been confused by this part of the creed? What in the world does it mean? Is Jesus actually sitting in a big chair next to God? Well, let's look at what we, again, know. First, we know that God, the Father, the first person of the Trinity, is not a human, but a spirit. And therefore, God the Father doesn't have a body, so he couldn't look at his hands and say, okay, this is the L, this is my left side, this must be my right side. God the Father doesn't have a body to sit with, let alone have hands to decide where Jesus would sit next to him at the right side. So what does it mean that Jesus sits at the right hand of God? I mean, has anyone else ever wondered about this, or is it just me? Well, let's explore it. The Hebrew Bible, or what we know as the Old Testament, characteristically pictures God as seated on the throne of the universe, with all things, all created things, under God's dominion. God is the only thing that is not created. So as creator of all things, that also means that God is the Lord over all things. This imagery of a throne room and a throne that God sits upon is borrowed from the Near East politics of the time that the Bible was written. It's where kings and emperors would have held court and exercised their rule. So as an extension of this imagery, the idea that someone was elevated to the right hand of God would suggest that someone who sits there is somebody whom God has granted special favor to, a special status. But what the New Testament writers do with this image is they interpret that image through the lens of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And what they do with this image is radically different than how it was understood in the Old Testament. The fundamental premise or idea of Judaism in New Testament times was that God and God alone could be said to have created all things and rule over all things. This is what distinguished God from anyone and anything else. Only God created all things, and only God, Yahweh, ruled over all things. And this God, Yahweh, who created all things and rules over all things, is seated on a throne. So what it means when the New Testament writers take this image and interpret it is that by virtue of Jesus' ascension and his exaltation to God's right hand, what they are saying is that Jesus, seated at God's right hand, now rules over all things. And since only God can rule over all things, they are saying that Jesus is God. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus created all things, and Jesus now rules over all things. Because now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of this God, this image means that for us, the New Testament writers weren't just placing Jesus next to God like a seating arrangement at a banquet. They were identifying Jesus as God. Now, as we've discussed, it would be so much easier in this creed if instead of using these images and word pictures and metaphors, if they would just come out and say that this is what it means. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is Lord. That's what they're saying here. And so, brothers and sisters, the creed of our church uses this image. And although it doesn't literally mean that there's a big chair that Jesus sits in at the right side of God, what it does mean is that none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the God of the universe. And our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our resurrected and ascended Lord, is the one who emptied himself and became human, who experienced every single thing that humans do, including suffering and death. He even descended to the dead. But when he rose again, he defeated death forever. And now he has returned to God. And now he reigns over all things and rules over all things, including the church, his body in the world today. When he returned to God, he sent us his Spirit so that now we all carry God around within us as we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, so that God can continue his work for us and for the church and for the world, in us and through us. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. Jesus Christ is God. This is the God in whom we believe and whom our hearts cling to. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of all people, inspire your church to pursue peace and justice in its ministry. Equip us to share your compassion that unites us as one family of faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Remind us that from the beginning of creation, you knit together a world meant for harmony. Protect and restore the wasted places to joy and gladness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Stir the leaders of nations and towns, militaries and courts, to respond to your teachings. Let us call for justice, that justice reach all people and bring deliverance when there is oppression. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Show your steadfast love and faithfulness to those in despair. Increase their strength, care for all who feel low, keep safe any in the midst of trouble, and protect vulnerable people from harm. We pray especially for Beale, Paul and Carolina, Kent, Bobby and Jana, Sandra, Caroline, Herbert, and Bonnie, and all those we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Encourage those who offer their gifts and talents in service to your church. Energize this congregational's rostered and lay leaders, musicians, teachers, ushers, and council members, so they may be transformed in sharing your grace. Hear us, O God. God of all the saints, death is overcome in Christ's resurrection. We rejoice with the faithful departed. Sustain us in hope until we come at last to our heavenly home. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever.
You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Brother of God, you take your place in our world.
As you are able, please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'm going to greet folks at this side door today. I don't often get to greet them as they leave worship. So if you would like to speak to me, that's where I will be. Now receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.